ったんです。波打ち際できらめく貝殻を拾い。
Hello and welcome back to the Anime Fridge. I am your host Arthur, and with me as always is my amazing co-host B minus Brian. How are you on this semi sunny, semi cloudy day?
We're just big chilling. Hell yeah, dude. Just chillaxing, relaxing, watching some anime, you know, doing all the greatest hits. That's up. What about you, Senpai?
I'm also doing good. I've been enjoying this rain, you know. Mm-hmm. I do like rain a lot. It just gives a good vibe. So, I mean, I'm here for it. And, yeah, I'm also just chilling, you know. Nothing really new has happened. Just playing a lot of Zelda.
We love that.
We love that, man. Princess Connect, of course. Japanese, we're trying to get caught up. Mm. Slowly mm-hmm. but surely, I'll get there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah.
The grind is real.
The grind is real again. After I grinded hard for 2.5 years, here we go again. The game is just too good to let go, I guess. So I'm back at it.
Mm-hmm. We love that.
That's right. And if you guys don't know, we are an anime podcast that talk about Japanese cartoons and Japanese comics occasionally, via One Piece a lot of the times. But we do talk about Japanese cartoons, and today is no different. We're going to talk about a special movie that we kind of threw in last second, but nevertheless, it's a special one. It came out during a horrible time when I watched it, and 2020 during the pandemic, and then I watched it. It really helped soothe the soul, really did. So I thought, you know, why not give it to Brian? It's a short, sweet movie called Ongaku, or in English, Our Sound. We're going to do a review on that one. And then before that, we have some news and some, you know, Nintendo weirdness and PlayStation things happening, and we're going to talk about that. So let's dive right into this. Brian, what anything you want to tell us about with your life that's been, you want to catch us up with?
No, just been dreaming about Zelda, been dreaming about Metroid, been dreaming about Mega Man.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but I think maybe just one thing kind of goes into another topic that we're talking about today. So maybe I'll just save that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But nah, just more of the same old, same old.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, nothing more to really update on. I haven't really watched any shows or any anime aside from what we're watching on the weekly. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we can just, you know, dive right in. You want to start with the PlayStation State of Play first or Nintendo's BS?
Yeah, we can do the State of Play.
Okay, so the State of Play happened for PlayStation, and they announced a lot of new games and accessories, if you will. Mm-hmm. So what are you the most excited for then? Should we just start with that already? Bam.
Well, the most surprising is that I think people are catching up to that trend 7 years later.
Jesus.
It's like PlayStation releasing their own Switch.
You know, I feel like when I see this, right, I think it's called Project Q, right? When I see this, I saw a Switch too, but what I'm seeing, it's more of a Microsoft thing where you can just stream it on a phone, but instead of your phone, they give you this bullshit instead. So, you know, we already kind of have it on Xbox where you can just, but instead it's your phone though. You don't need to buy an extra accessory, and you just buy, you know, the Joy-Cons on the side, and you can do it and play your games like that. And PlayStation is doing this weird new thing that, I mean, it seems really utterly pointless if it's not going to be, like, exclusive to the Project Q. So, I don't... For me, I got to say it's a big L. It's a big flop. But what about you, Brian? What do you think of this thing?
Well, I don't know. That just sounds silly. I feel like...
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just interesting because, like, I feel like the Steam Deck came out, this is coming out.
Right.
And, I don't know, it just shows you how revolutionary the Switch was. And just also, I think that makes me think about mobile gaming and how it hasn't taken off so much as, like, we all thought it was going to take off. I mean, I'm pretty sure it generates a lot of money, but it's not like the, a new system, right? It's not the new, like, the iPhone isn't the new PS4 or, like, you know, the Xbox X or whatever they're at, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. You're right. But, like, we for sure have already been on this topic about mobile gaming, how in Japan it's really big. It's like, you mm-hmm. know, they don't really play console anymore. They just play pretty much computer and mobile games. So are we going to follow in their steps? Maybe. Maybe, because it seems like everybody that we know is getting a PC, right, Brian? Like hardly any, like, everybody either has either a PlayStation plus a PC. So, or, yeah. you know, Xbox or PC, whatever you want. Or especially a Nintendo Switch and a PC. That's the big one.
The Nintendo PC.
Oh, shit. That will never happen, but...
That's the next thing. That's where they're moving up from Switch.
Yeah.
They're going from Switch to fucking Nintendo PC.
But, you know, you're right, Brian. I mean, in terms of what Nintendo did, though, in revolutionizing the gaming industry with the Switch, I think they're all behind, first of all. And for the reason that Nintendo was so successful with it is because their first-party games are the best in the Switch itself. But I think where the Steam Deck and maybe PlayStation Q as well is going to flop is going to be on the third-party games. Because, you know... I mentioned that I bought BioShock and it runs, you know, okay and decently, but it would probably run better on the PC or the Xbox anyway. So mm-hmm. it was kind of a waste to get it on the Switch. But Zelda runs really well. So I don't know if they're going to have a hard time with the optimization as well on Project Q, because I know the Steam Deck has some issues right now and you can spend like $1,000 to get like the top of the line one. But at that point, you might as well get a PC.
You know, yeah,
I just don't understand, like, the who's the target audience for this is, you know? Like, I don't understand it.
Definitely, yeah, well, it's weird because you have to tread the line where, like, okay, mm-hmm. this is not, like, you know, a main thing, right? It's portable, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know, it's kind of like spending a lot of money on a gaming, like, laptop because it'll never be a PC.
Right, exactly.
And, like, are you really going to be hardcore gaming on your, like, you know, at your job during your 30-minute lunch break, right?
Right.
So yeah. Is it really worth... Oh, sorry. I have something stuck in my throat. But yeah, it's just kind of like a weird market, right? Where, like, you don't want to go too expensive and, like... You know, do we really need, like, a $1,000 machine just to kind of, like... And where people mainly play in their house, like, anyways, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like... Okay, other than that, though, I guess in terms of what was announced, you know, you have... the final shape of Destiny 2, I don't care about. Spider-Man 2, also I don't really care about. Like, you know, people are hyped for Spider-Man.
No, you didn't like it?
No. I mean, it's kind of whatever. It's not... I'm not going to go out of my way to get... Like, people always say, oh, the PS5 has Spider-Man. So, for me, that's not really a selling point to get a PS5. It's one game like this. Mm-hmm. So,
One game shouldn't, like, make you buy a whole entire console to begin with, you know?
I mean, honestly, yeah. But that's definitely what... you know, they're going for sure PlayStation over Xbox. They have they have the driving force of, like, okay, we're gonna make it exclusive to PlayStation, so you buy a PlayStation. Xbox has stopped doing that a long time ago because they just make everything on Xbox plus on PC. So mm-hmm. I mean, at that point, what's the point of an Xbox console, really, if you're gonna do that? And probably nothing, except for, like, the huge fanboys, I guess. But, and of course, playing with your friends is always going to be top of the line. If you're going to play with your friends and they all have Xbox, then you're going to get an Xbox for your friends. But, I mean, really, though, I mean, seeing this, like, lineup here, nothing really stands out for me, you know? I'm not like, oh, man, that looks like I'm, like, gray, or, I mean, you know, it's just the same old, you know, a lot of sequels. Like, you got Dragon Dogma 2, you got Final Fantasy 16, the trailer gonna, it's just, I don't know.
How do you feel about that?
No, I'm over it. After 15,
you're over flop, Final Fantasy.
After 15, dude, I'm done. I'm just, no, please stop.
It's just like the best days are over.
This one looks better already than 15, but
is 15 the one with Sasuke?
That's right. Yeah, Sasuke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, we'll see what people say about it, and then maybe I'll get into it. But I mean, I don't know. Or if it's on Game Pass, then maybe I'll get it, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then, once again, Assassin's Creed, another one, like, you know.
Bro, how many of them are they gonna make, you know?
How many are there now, Brian? Any idea?
Bro, there's probably like 20, like that.
Right? Yeah, I think,
like,
you're
they
right.
Come out with some, like, every year.
It's the new Call of Duty, huh? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so, well, yeah, I don't know, like, I hear like sometimes that, like, you know, Black Flag was really good.
Right.
And that was really good too. Yeah. I mean, I guess people are still kind of into it, which is interesting. It's just weird when, like, you know, you have the beginning of a series where, like, you kind of don't know what's going on. Like, we're, like, slowly, like, piecing the things to the realm. I feel like when Ezio left, you know, they really started diving into, like, the whole, like, what the project was or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. I don't want to say that it's bad, but, you know, a lot of people hate Ubisoft. And
that's
so,
right. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
So, anything else here stand out to you, or you know, doesn't really kind of, you know, you're kind of in the middle of like, whatever.
What do you think about Foam Stars, the Splatoon kind of like? I don't want to say knockoff, but probably knockoff.
Yeah. See, another one. I mean, it's one of those that I'm like, might as well just play Splatoon, because I heard Splatoon 3, right? It's a new one. Heard that one's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, see, like, these, what's up with these games? Just kind of like, you know, regurgitating, you know, these titles, man. I don't understand it. So,
yeah, it's such a weird trend where, like, you know, you had like three different fucking Smash copycats.
That's right, huh? The Nickelodeon. Yeah, man.
The Warner Brothers one. And I'm pretty sure we're forgetting like other ones, but it's just kind of funny how, I don't know. I just feel like the video game industry kind of feels stale lately. I don't know if that's just me. But
no, it's I feel it for sure.
Like, I think we're just kind of talking about it where, like, now games are like $70 and they expect you to pay like $150 and like incomplete games and all this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, just like video games, I feel like they're not hitting as they were.
No, not at all. I mean, for sure. And of course, you know, you have the new Street Fighter with a Lil Wayne here. But I guess, kind of exciting, but not really, because I'm kind of over it too. It's Mortal Kombat 1. They're starting over again, you know? You heard of that, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called Mortal Kombat 1, and it's starting over from the beginning, kind of going back to the roots, I guess, of, I don't know, but. I've heard that, yeah, it's going to be $70, going to be 100 gigabytes for your PC.
Ooh, wait, what? For Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, that's right.
Why? What are they putting into? Is the game huge?
Yeah, it's a big game, but, I mean, I don't know what is big about it, because they didn't mention, like, I mean, are they going to do a big story, like, you know, Armageddon, or what? Yeah. I mean, I just, no matter what. I think that's too much. I think it's bullshit.
I think it definitely... Yeah, what the fuck is 100 gigabytes? What are you going to do with... Especially, like, on a fighting game, like... I don't know. Like, it's weird, because, like, there's only so much people can do, right? Like, you know, like, even, like... I don't know. Imagine, like, creating, like, an open-world game. Like, how much developers and kind of time and storage like that, and they never hit 100 gigabytes, and so you're telling me that this, like, kind of fighter game is going to take up that much space?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. So let me tell you, Brian, how much do you think Breath of the Wild 2 takes up on my Switch? How much do you think?
1 gigabyte.
All right, calm down. It's 16.
Oh. And
It's a big game. It's a massive game, and it's actually pretty big for the Switch, too. I don't think any other game is that big now I'm thinking about it. Maybe Bioshock, all three of them together, are that big. But, I mean... For a game like that massive and that open world, fine. But Jesus, but, Mortal Kombat 1 is going to be like one little map, you know, and a character on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Like a fucking half-assed game, you know?
It's crazy.
Honestly, I don't understand it, but I heard a lot of good things about Street Fighter, the new Street Fighter, though. Because I heard like they're really like putting in an effort and trying to like change the things that were kind of like not so good on the latest release.
Oh, yeah, I heard Fighter was bad, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so I hear that, like, you know, they reworked a lot of characters. They're trying to add, like, a lot of, like, depth into, like, the story. And, like, and so, like, kind of from, like, the fighting game community, which I'm not, like, a big part of.
Right.
But what I have heard from is, like people are excited because it does seem like they put, like, a lot of effort into it.
Okay. Well, there it is.
So we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, we'll like to see it succeed, you know?
I mean, honestly, yeah, because I know they made, like, Street Fighter 4, like, 10 times, like, Street Fighter 4, and then Street Fighter 4 Alpha Omega, Street Fighter 4 Alpha Omega Mega Extra Edition. Like, they made a bunch of them, right?
And they did the Street Fighter 2 shit again.
That's right.
And they went back to their roots. They went back to their roots.
They did the same thing with Dead Rising. When the third one came out, they called it Dead Rising, but they were just kind of embracing the meme. It seemed like Dead Rising 3 Ultra Mega Alpha Edition Squared. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, really? But which is funny. But and then, yeah, I heard Street Fighter 5 after it finally came out, it was bad. I think I played a match of it at our cousin Jose's house, and yeah, it seemed pretty. It like the character slide screen seemed so small, and I'm like, this yeah. is it? And it was kind of strange, but I mean, I don't know.
No, but so we'll see. Yeah, that's right. I hear like people are getting excited for it, so fuck it.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm looking through here. Nothing really, you know. Okay, I guess Grand Blue Fantasy. I mean, I've heard about the mobile game and I've watched the anime. They're both, I haven't played the mobile game because it's also a side games that hasn't come to US yet. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. The mobile game I heard is good, and so is the anime. I know the anime is good, but so they're making an actual game for it. That's pretty interesting. It seems kind of weird. They're still making PS4 games. You think that's weird or?
Yeah.
It's pointless.
Well, I just feel like I've never felt like they truly transitioned to the PS5.
Oh, you mentioned that a while back, and if I feel, yeah, I feel it. I really do like, feel that.
You know, at first, like, you know, it was kind of like, oh, we don't have, like, the means to produce these things. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure they do now, because I saw Xbox and PS5s just at Best Buy, you know? But,
right.
Like...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just feel like they just never really transitioned. It just feels like... I don't know, it kind of feels like, you know, like, a lot of things, like, they're upgrading, but they're not really doing anything. Kind of like, you know, the graphics card where, like, you know, we have, like, the 40 series, right?
Right, yeah.
And then you have, like, the 30 series running just as good, if not better. And, like, and so, like, I feel like they're, like, little redundant upgrades, you know?
Right,
yeah. Like, they're not, like, reinventing anything. Or,
not
like...
Not really.
You know? And so, I don't know.
Or, like, the... Same with the graphics card as well. They have the Ti or the Titanium edition that doesn't do anything that much different. Like... And it's just way more expensive.
Exactly, so yeah. I mean, and so I feel like people are just kind of like conditioned to like, oh yeah, it's the natural cycle for the new PS5, but there's not really anything to update. And so maybe that's kind of like the stagnation.
You know, it could be that, but I know the PS4 was like their most sold console ever. And mm-hmm. maybe they're just too scared to like, you know, cut it off completely. I don't know if that's the case. It took the Wii U quite some time to shut the store down too, right? It took mm-hmm. them, but I mean that doesn't mean that you know Nintendo Switch game were coming out on Wii. I mean I think like the first like year, right? They were coming out on both.
The Wii U, yep.
Yeah, but and then after that they said, all right, only on Switch. And I think that's a good you know timeline there, about a year. And
yeah, to transition.
So, right. So I don't know. I don't know what they're both. Xbox and PS are both the same. You can still. Because, you know, if you go on the Xbox store and people buy these new games, whatever it is, and you see the reviews for them, people complain about, oh, it keeps crashing, and then it has that they're playing on the old, you know, VCR, DVR, Xbox. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. That shit's, like, really, really old now at this point. 2012 mm-hmm. is insane. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely, it's time. It's time to move on from these old consoles, I suppose. Speaking of that, though, Brian, there's another game, I guess, going into Xbox here. It was called Redfall. Have you heard about this game?
I have not. What is the deal with that?
So it was supposed to be a AAA game that Xbox was developing with the help of Arkane Studios, a really, you know, a big studio that everybody loves, apparently. And it's like a France studio. And this game came out, and it flopped bad. It released... It released with 30 FPS on the Series X, even though they promised Ooh. 60, and nope, it didn't get it. It was bad. So, horrible release. Of course, it was Game Pass game, but everything about it was buggy. You know, 30 FPS in 2023 is just unacceptable on the Series
yeah,
X.
Yeah, weird.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so weird.
So, you know, which is why I mentioned in our group chat that we're living in an era of unfinished games. And this is another example here.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
It's absolutely unacceptable. If it's not done, it's not done. I know that Zelda, like, still, I'm going to compare it with Zelda over and over again because this game, I'm sure, took a long time to do. I think it got postponed once. But, you know, we got a complete game that's pretty much masterpiece level of perfection, and we're getting games like Redfall that is, you know, an abomination. But
yeah, well, isn't like the whole thing with Zelda where like it was set to release last year, they postponed it for a year, and during that year all they did was actually just touch up because it was ready for a release.
Okay, I heard about that. Yeah,
but from what I heard is that they spent like the year like polishing it and making it really good.
There you go. See, well, why not do that too? I mean, what the hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, so, and then with that though, Brian, with this flop of this game, and of course we had, I think a few games came out a while. We had a bunch of games coming out recently in the past few years that have been, you know, bad with AAA games. And then Phil Spencer actually came out, which is very rare for them to acknowledge a bad release. But Phil Spencer, the CEO of Microsoft, he claims full responsibility for the poor launch of Arkane Studio Redfall. He says, which landed with overwhelmingly negative and critical and player reception in May 2023. And then he says that there's nothing more difficult for him than disappointing the Xbox community, and he disappointed with himself and the team. But the critical response, so pretty much what he's saying that going forward, and we'll see how true this is to his word he is, right? Going forward, mm-hmm. he's going to strive to launch a game that's complete. And he's going to keep trying to fight for it, and he's going to try to postpone games if they're not done, and they're not to 100%. Because I guess I remember a few years ago when Minecraft first came to Xbox and PlayStation, right? It went from PC to PlayStation. It came out on the PS3 first, and then Xbox actually postponed it for about a month or two because it was so buggy, and they didn't want to accept a buggy game. So back then, they had a better, you know, I guess criteria or a better team. I'm not sure if they kind of got, you know, loosened because, you know, after buying so many game studios, they probably just stopped giving a fuck about, you know, what they're releasing maybe. But yeah, I mean, it seems that Phil Spencer's going to take responsibility, but we'll see. We'll see what that means, really, you know. It might not mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. We'll see.
Hopefully it's not just talk and that we actually see some good ass products. That's what we want. That's what we deserve.
Honestly, yeah, and you know, I trust Phil Spencer a little bit more than, you know, some of the other ones, because Phil Spencer pretty much saved Xbox when it was dying badly, you know, from the Xbox One. He pretty much saved them hard, but so hopefully he does something about it. So we'll see.
Yeah, have you seen anything about the new Metal Gear Solid Triangle?
I have not.
Nekira. Well, it's just like Metal Gear Solid 3 re-released.
Oh.
And so, like, we're not doing like any new games. It's just, I think they've, I don't know if you ever heard about that, but apparently they've been re-releasing the Metal Gear Solid games.
I have not heard about it actually. I'm kind of strange.
Yeah. So I might get the story wrong because I haven't, you know, been like researching this, but like,
right?
Yeah, there's Metal Gear Solid 3, and I don't know if this just like they're like, okay, let's start at 3 and then go from there. But I know that I think that they have like plans to like. They have like a bundle where you get 1, 2, and 3 together.
Oh,
so there's what? That.
That's so strange. I feel like it came out of nowhere, but all right.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know.
All right, we'll see. I'm excited for that. That's pretty cool. I know Metal Gear Solid's huge, and I used to play it when I was younger, but I have not played it in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess with that, you want to jump into Nintendo's emulator bullshit?
Cool. Yeah. So. From what I heard, is that the Nintendo told the infamous, well, not infamous, but like kind of like the most, like the famous emulator Dolphin, they're like, hey, you're kind of like pirating all our fucking games. Could you please stop doing that? Okay. And I don't know. I think it's dumb because I feel like, you know, some of the games are like 20, 25 year old. They're not supported. Like even like, you know, I think recently they closed down the 3DS shop.
Right. That's right.
Like, it's weird because I feel like, you know, I don't think they're making any new money from, like, you know, GameCube games. Like, you know, everything that has been produced and sold has, you know, that's already happened, right?
Right.
And so, like, any money to be made is, like, through a secondary market. And, you know, as a person who loves, like, his retro video games, like, I'm not going to spend, like, $100 on like each childhood game, you know. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's where like emulators really come in clutch, because like literally yesterday I was playing Mario Party 7. And
there you go.
And I think that's such a great thing to have. Like, you know, it's like so convenient, so fun. And like I feel like, you know, it feels like very wholesome being able to play like video games that you like haven't played in such a long time and just having it at your fingers. And so I feel like, you know, like if you're not making any money, it's not hurting your industry. If anything, it's kind of like letting people like get back into it, then like, you know, kind of like, what's the problem, you know?
That's what, okay. I have a problem with Nintendo in general with this bullshit, because they're the ones that are kind of the most stingy, right? I don't think anybody else gives a fuck, really. But yeah, it's Nintendo, and it's always been them. And they have just a, you know, they sued the people that did the Mario Kart thing in Japan, and they did their own thing. And then, of course, they also sued the one guy. I forget what he did. But he now has to pay $10 million, and he has and he has to pay 30% of his income for his whole life, and that's it. So
wait, but for what?
For what he did, which I'm not sure. He was a hacker, and he was just a hacker, you know, on Nintendo, and now he has to pay like 30% of his income for his whole life now. So I mean, that's
that's some fucking crippling. That crippled the fuck out of someone.
That's what I'm saying. And people were saying it's kind of insane that a Nintendo company like this would do that. You know, why not just have him pay back his earnings and then call it a day? And that would be good. But now they're like, okay, he has to pay back his earnings, which is $320,000 and $10 million as well. And of course, why not add this 30% of his income for the rest of his days, which is insane.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, he got 11 felonies though, and he's got wire fraud. He pled guilty to 2 of the charges. I mean, it's not a small.
He should have called Saul.
He should have called Saul, man. Saul would have got him, like, you know, who knows, just on probation, and he'd just go to Mexico. Like,
Nintendo would have been paying him.
That's right.
Nintendo would have been paying him $10 trillion.
So when people ask you, Brian, ask you this, right? What are victimless crimes? One of them, in my opinion, is indeed emulating a game that no one's releasing anymore and no one gives a fuck. Because like when you go back in time, like you said, and you're trying to play like Paper Mario 1000 Year Door, like
$100, like if you're lucky.
Yes. That's stupid. That's sucky. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But you want to just play it real quick, you know, and you jump into it, and they're not going to... I heard they're going to re-release it. If they do, then support the game. That'd be cool. But if they're ignoring it, like, you know, I'm trying to think of other games. I bet Mario Kart Double Dash, that's going to probably never come back ever.
Yeah.
So you probably the same price, $100. So why not emulate it, or especially the old Pokemon games? You know, those are the big examples, too. You can play all the Pokemon games on your emulator or on your calculator even, whatever have you. And, you know, it would be, it's okay. But no, they're not allowing that to happen. So it's stupid. Hopefully they don't do anything about it, because I know that some of these, like Dolphin and these companies, they have their servers in countries where it's not against the law. So they can't really do stuff about it, even though they do have worldwide laws with copyright and stuff. But it's kind of hard to pin someone down in a different country, like with, you know, illegal pirate sites where they have their servers in, you know, countries that they don't really give a fuck about copyright. So I don't know what's going to go down with that. Hopefully nothing happens, because if they truly shut these down, we're going to truly lose these games forever. And that's kind of
exactly
easy. What the fuck is that?
Well, it's weird, because like with the whole reselling market, it makes people want to make like counterfeit games, right? And so like even if you try to buy it legitimately, like you spend so much money and you might have some fake ass, like, you know, game, is like an emulation. So might as well just have like the emulation yourself and cut out, like, you know, like a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Well, like, you know, some games are cheaper. So I bought Sonic Heroes about 2-3 years
Sonic
ago.
Hero.
Right. I felt like playing it. I went to GameStop.com and I'm like, let's see if they have it here. Just coincidentally. And they did. And they would ship it to my house for $2, dude. Not even shitting you.
$2. Wait, you bought the game for $2?
Yes, on GameStop.com.
Whoa, what
GameCube edition in the original packaging. It was all there. $2 came to my house. I couldn't believe it. I bought it, and I still got it right now. And I played it, and I had fun. Stuff like that. If you find it on GameStop, I mean, still you're not supporting Nintendo at all at that, because you know somebody resold that probably like 20 times, and then now Nintendo, I mean, GameStop has it now, and you know I got lucky, I guess. It's probably it's more expensive now because that was about 3 years ago. I don't know. If you're going to find it for that price anymore, probably.
People found out that it was actually goated. Because I feel like Sonic Heroes has always been like the underrated game where like people didn't talk about it, but it hit.
100%. I thought it was good. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's probably nostalgia too. But I mean, I did play it recently and I had fun still.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This whole emulation thing, I mean, I'm for it. Always have been for it. You know, I emulate everything that I can't get anywhere else. I mean, why the hell not? But
I don't know. I just remember being like, you know, in high school and everybody was their fucking ugly ass Android phones, but they were playing Pokemon.
That's right.
And like, it was just so convenient, just so nice to have, you know, like kind of be able to play Pokemon wherever and just like your little emulator and like get people excited. It's fun. Like, you know, that's how video games should be.
That's right. I agree.
Video games should be fun, accessible, and just, you know, something you can share with friends.
Yeah. And it seems like that's going away with Nintendo being a greedy motherfuckers. Just chill out. Just chill. Let it happen. Let it happen.
Yeah. Let it happen. Just let go of the reins. Come on.
All right. But, you know, I guess with that, I mean, emulation. You know, I've seen some people actually emulate with the Series S. I mean, that's pretty cool.
The Series S? Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you can just kind of, you can like, I guess, I don't know if the term jailbreak is still a thing, or, you know, you can hack it, or you do something with it, and then you can play any kind of game you want, which is like Nintendo. You can get Dolphin on there, and you can do any game you want on the Xbox Series S. People aren't doing it on the X, I think, because maybe it's more expensive, I don't know, but...
Yeah, like, you might lose, like, a bigger investment.
Right, because I think once you do it, you're bricked. I'm not sure... But you can still play the any game you want, essentially. So I think that's pretty cool. And I have seen some people do it on the Switch, too. But another one, if you do it, you probably get bricked as well.
Mm-hmm. So this is potential IT tech support. I don't know if you know anything about this, but our Series S doesn't connect to the HDMI. Or, like, it doesn't pop on the TV. Do you know what I can do?
Interesting. No, I don't know. That's kind of seems like a... How is your, is it, are you using the HDMI it came with?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, I mean, I don't know, man.
Probably shit just broken?
Could be just broken shit, man.
Damn.
GG.
It's only been like a year or two, so. It's kind of a bummer if it is, but that's what I think it is.
And hopefully so, it's not that. Hopefully it's just, you know, an HDMI that's bad. Have you tried a different HDMI? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, just different HDMIs connecting, you know, to different TVs and stuff like that. But nothing's working. I think it's the Xbox. And, like, I tried doing, like, kind of, like, the mode where you, like, it's, like, reset the graphics.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, just kind of bummer because I've been, like, you know, I've been really enjoying playing on the Xbox S. But I think it might have bricked itself.
Did you try holding the power button for, like, 10 seconds?
Yep.
Did that? Okay.
Yeah. Well.
There it is. It could just be a broken Xbox then. Thanks, Phil Spencer.
Thanks, Phil Spencer.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess with that, I have nothing else, man. Anything else?
Okay, Brian? Cool. Well, should we just go on the review?
Let's go on a review of Ongaku, Our Sound. Now, this is a movie. It's pretty short. It's an hour and 11 minutes long. And like I said, it came out right before the pandemic. January 11, 2020, it came out in theater in Japan. But and then for us, it was supposed to come out in March, around there. You know what happened in March? Yeah, everything shut down. Didn't come out. Nobody heard about it. But, of course, it's done by, it says right here, studio is None. Oh, wow. Good job, my anime list. Really?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I thought it was like the studio who did like Ping Pong the animation, maybe.
No, it is not Tezuka. No way.
Uh-huh.
This is done pretty much, it was a one-man solo team, more or less. It took him 7 years to make this movie. It took him a long time to do it because it was self-funded. He wanted to just, it was done by a mangaka as well that kind of like one from One Punch Man has very crude art. And he was kind of enamored by it, and he wanted to make an anime about it, but no one really wanted to fund him. Self-funded, got a bunch of outside help, little by little. And of course, well, not really of course, you probably can't tell, but the majority of the character, I think the three main characters and the girl are all rotoscoped. So, yeah, he drew over actual people, and you have that happen for it. And of course, the rotoscope part happens a lot with one of the supporting...
The music?
Yeah, especially the music when the sound plays, and especially with the supporting character Morita, when when they are singing and you see them, especially at the final, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but in the final moment, of course, that one is really rotoscoped, and when they are first singing for Kenji and his crew, it's all rotoscoped, and it looks really well. But luckily, for you pretty much can stream it anywhere. But luckily for us, G Kids did pick it up, so you can buy the Blu-ray for about $15. So if you really care, you'll support it. I do have the Inuo Blu-ray, but I'm gonna probably get this one too. I just think that these small ones are, you know, these small movies do need the support, or you can give them. Well, anyway, Brian, what were your thoughts going into this movie?
I had no thoughts. I had no idea what it was. I just went to my little, you know, illegal streaming on the seven seas.
That's right.
I typed in Ongaku, and I just kind of went from there.
Yeah, sweet. I mean, yeah, that's the, well, I guess, yeah, your introduction was me. My introduction to this movie was Under the Scope, and it's a guy on YouTube that does, you know, really in-depth reviews of anime all the time, and then he was doing Best Anime of the Year of 2020, and this kept coming up every time in his music, in his art, and of course in his movie section. So it was, oh my, what is his movie? And every time he showed like a smaller, you know, snippet of it, a clip, I always thought, wow, this looks great, and I wanted to get into it, and yeah, I did, and I was very surprised of how much I enjoyed it. It was, I do like it, Brian. So, right now, do you like it or do you not like it? Just give me
the
part.
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah, at first I thought it was just kind of be like, you know, delinquents doing delinquent shit.
Right.
But I really like how they kind of like find a passion. Like, I thought it was like super cool how like you know, like, I feel like it's common stereotype, you know, like the delinquents are like so cool to do anything, you know, they don't have like any passions, but then they ended up finding a passion and like something that they really enjoy and like friends along the scene. And so, yeah, I thought that was wholesome.
Very nice. You want to give us a brief synopsis? I mean, that was pretty much a synopsis right there, honestly. It really was. But yeah, I mean, go ahead, Brian. Give us a quick synopsis of this movie overall.
Cool. Well, I think we kind of get like introduced to Kenji. He like randomly walks into the school where I don't know, like it's kind of weird. Like, Kenji's just kind of an odd character where he's 100% super emotionless. He kind of just does whatever he wants, you know. He's like kind of like that delinquent stereotype where like he's like the strongest, he beats everybody up. Like very very Yu Yu Hakusho. You know, like, you know, he's the strongest one. But like that kind of like, he's just kind of like, I don't know how to describe him. I feel like he's very,
he's super listless too, you know, he's just,
yeah, he's just like very like go with the flow, or like, he doesn't really care about anything. Like, just super like wandery drifter or whatever. Right. But you know, he's supposed to get into like a fight. The local high school, like, you know, because that's like delinquent shit. But he ends like, there's like this random accident where somebody gets their spear stolen, and so somebody gives him a base, and I think, you know, to hold while they go chase down like the thief. But I think he just ends up taking it, and he's like, oh, I have a base now.
That's right.
He's like, okay, let's just start a band, you know, I have the base. And so they just kind of take their things from like the local, from their class. Two drums, two basses, no guitars, super redundant.
Yeah.
But you know what? Fuck it. They're out there and they start jamming. They get like really into it. They like find out that somebody has the same name as them. And so they're going to confront them. And it turns out that they rock. That's where we meet Morita. Oh, right? Yeah. So Morita, they're into like folk music. They're kind of like more different because, like, you know, Kenji and his crew, Uta and Sakura, they're just like very DIY, just like, you know, playing by ear and like whatever sounds good or like whatever works. Right? There's no like music theory. But Morita's right, kind of like the big nerd where like he's like studying music. Music's all his life. Like, he has like 30,000 CDs at one point they talk about.
So good.
And so, yeah, so you get that. They start going to a festival, but it turns out that Kenji kind of lost interest in it. And yeah, so they're that's all, right. You know, it's like kind of driftless Kenji is or whatever. Like, he does shit on whims. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not into this shit. I'm not going to be part of it.
Yep.
And so things kind of continue on. Like, Uta and Sakura are still into it. They practice. They try to get Aya to sing for them. Which is weird because I feel like that never really goes anywhere. I thought that was kind of odd. Yeah. But yeah, the festival comes. Surprise, surprise. Kenji has found a new passion, but is in the recorder, not the bass no more.
Let's go.
They have like the coolest fucking rock scene ever. You know, the rotary scope comes in clutch.
Oh my, so fucking, yeah, so
epic. And next day, Kenji's over it, but you know, maybe not. Who knows? And yeah, that's kind of it. It's like a super simple like story.
It's super simple, 100%. I mean, yeah, you went through it perfectly. I just go over some things. Like, obviously, when he confronts Morita and his crew, he's like, oh, you know, I want to listen to you play, right? And then I like that scene of Morita just like singing the folktale. You know, I thought it was beautiful. I had the song downloaded in my phone because I thought it was so damn good. Something about it. Ushigo no Yokita, I think that's what it's called. And that was fantastic. And of course, Morita, like you said, Brian, they had no rhythm. They had nothing. But Morita describes their music as like really primal.
Like primal. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I thought, yeah, I mean, it made sense. And everybody's kind of enamored by it. You know, even I is like, wow, they're not horrible, but they're not great either. It's just, you know, it's there. And yeah, I mean, but yeah, I mean, of course, when he goes, there's that one scene where he does get the recorder and he has to, like, fight everybody. But he's kind of just, like, you know, using the recorder as he, like, kind of, like, fucks them up, but walking past them, too, which is hilarious. But
yeah, like, Zero is kind of weird. Did you think it was odd that we didn't get, like, a single fight scene at all?
Yes, I thought that was strange, especially with the main character where he's supposed to be, like, super strong and OP. And then you have, you know, these crazy delinquents with, like, crazy mohawks and then that one buff delinquent as well. I'm like, all right, we're gonna get some fighting, but no, that didn't really matter, I guess. So still strange though, how not one fight scene, but
yeah, right, well, Brian.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I just thought it was kind of like, I don't know, I feel like they were talking about it, but I feel like that wasn't like the point of like, you know, the movie, you know, it's right. Like the fighting,
right? Yeah, pretty much. 100%.
It's just like them about like moving away and like actually finding shit that they like.
Yep. And then, yeah, like Brian said, the ending here, we have a whole performance, like a whole performance, just rotoscope, you know, and they got an actual person that plays the guitar. They went outside and they had a whole festival like this and they recorded it and they just drew exactly what they saw. So, it's one of those things that like it's kind of like Makoto Shinkai. This director here did his own thing because he was passionate about it. And it took him 7 years to make an hour and 11 movie, you know? And honestly, man, like when you have someone passionate like this, it shows, especially in that performance. It was so damn beautiful, you know? It's just, Jesus, like you don't get that kind of stuff really. And I don't know, you know, this kind of movie, like to recommend it to like a normal anime fan, I know what their reaction would be. It would be, oh, the art style is, I don't like the art style. I don't like, he's too bland or whatever have you. It's always the same thing with these anime fans. That's why, you know, I recommend you something, like something more artsy-fartsy, you know? Something, yeah, more up your, I don't know. I feel like even if you didn't like it, you would have something to say good that you appreciated about it anyway. Because, I don't know, you can just kind of see the passion flowing from either the singers and, of course, the director, especially. I mean, he's everything here. You can see he's director, sound director, script, storyboard, editing, art director, animation director. Yeah, I'm like, Christ, man, relax.
But yeah, well, that's what I really like because I feel like, you know, a lot of times as I kind of like produce media,
yeah,
it's just kind of annoying because, like, you know, say like you want to get into a hobby, right?
Yeah.
The first thing that people always think about is like, what am I going to buy? You know, yeah. What gear do I have? What, you know, mic am I recording on? What like interface do I have? And like, you know, am I doing it on a MacBook or a PC? Kind of like really like that attitude, you know, and it also kind of matches what like, you know, the director did as well, where he's like, you know, this movie's not going to get funded. I'm just going to do it myself. You know, the kids is like, you know, I'm not going to worry about like saving up and getting a job. I'm just going to have like, you know, the instruments that I have right now and we're just going to go with it. And we're not going to think about like, do I sound good? Like you never heard like, oh, this is the shit. Like, oh, I'm new. Like whatever. They just kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this shit. And like, I'm going to do the best and kind of like go from there.
Yeah.
You know? And so I really like kind of like that attitude because I feel like, you know, people always like people always throw money into things that like, you know, which is good, right? Like, you know, pay for the things that you love. But like sometimes I feel like, you know, sometimes like going out and doing the thing is always better than like waiting just to like buy things to go do the things, right? Like,
100%, you know,
if you're going to go fishing, you don't need a boat and $1,000 rod. Just go to Walmart, pick up like a $10 like, you know, stick, get your license and just go fish.
I'm going to go hiking, so I need my hiking boots, my North Face jacket, and my North
Face backpack. Yeah, exactly. You know? That type of
just,
stuff.
Just chill. Just go out there and...
Just go in your running shoes and, like, fucking the raggiest shorts you can find and just, you know, enjoy it. You don't have to... Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like consumerism, like, really, like, kind of chains us down because, like, you know, like, I'm not going to spend $300 just for things that I might not even like, you know? So I think it's like important just to do things first and then go from there. And so I really like that attitude in the show and I like the attitude of the creator. And I thought it was like really nice and refreshing because like, you know, at first I think like down this animation, you know, it's kind of rough, but then like, you know, you get used to it and then like you actually see really good things with the rotary scope where like the rotary scope in this has it, like, you know, they made the scenes like a million times better and we're like such a like you know like it was like used so intentionally and well we're like it was great like it wasn't like oh I'm gonna put rotoscope just to kind of like you know make it look different it's like it was super intentional and so
yeah, that's right.
I thought that was dope. I thought the movie was dope in general.
It was a fantastic movie and I mean what you said about it is right. I mean a lot of time with the rotoscope people use it just to have this you know to make it look prettier or to make it move better, one of the two. And I believe in the Deadly Flowers, when they did it on that one, it didn't work because the way he did it in this movie, if you look at the manga, it's pretty much identical. Like it's kind of like Mob Psycho. He took the manga's like kind of crude art and just made it come to life, you know, in a beautiful way. And he rotoscoped kind of his own face as Kenji, the main character, but he still drew Kenji though. So I think that's how you want to do it, because in, you know, Deadly Flower, I think that was called, where, you know, they have a manga and they have characters that everybody loves and then they get actual famous actors and they use their faces instead. So they changes the whole entirety of like the character designs and people were mad about it, especially the manga readers. They were like, oh, this is not the character that I, you know, grew to love or whatever have you. And this one is just done way better and fantastically. But, you know, I mean, of course, you have the ending jump with Kenji flying to the goddamn moon. That was fantastic.
That was good too.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with Ungaku at all. Yeah, because it combines, like, rock and roll and folk, like, folk music together in like, a good way that, you know, it's a good harmony that I'm sure people will enjoy. So I'm not sure... you know, who this movie is really for, like, to recommend. Of course, if you enjoy music and if you enjoy, you know, movies in general, and it's a short watch. It's not like a, you know, it's not like a Spirit Away or, you know, 3-hour film like Oppenheimer's going to come out soon, like everything. It's an hour, 11 minutes. It's a good length. You know, it's perfect. So, and not only that, I mean, of course, I mean, people say that when animated movies, especially like this one right here, they have a bunch of stills, right, where kind of uncomfortable, you know, they just have a shot of Kenji's face just like about 10 seconds, right? And people think that's a sign of lazy animation or, you know, they don't have a budget, and maybe that's the case, but not in this one. I think he uses it well because obviously a lot of the jokes here too, you're not laughing at them, you're laughing with them as well. I think that's another vibe that they give off really good, whether that's a mangaka or the director here, but he uses those pods as well, because, you know, you have movies like a Spirit Away where everything moves 100% nonstop, right? But he's not afraid to use stills for, you know, moments of like pausing and, you know, thinking or whatever have you. So I think everything about it is just done pretty damn phenomenally. So
yeah,
this movie is great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Well, I mean, other than that, I had nothing else to say. I mean, we covered pretty much everything there's to cover, because movies, like I said, it's short.
It's sweet, it's a short watch.
And it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I just really like what you said about, like, kind of like the stills, because I feel like it felt like it was very much the mood, and, like, you know, a lot of the characters are kind of silent too. Right. Where, like, kind of they're just, like, looking at each other. They're like, hey, do you want to go to the comic cafe? They're like, sure. And yeah. That's just kind of about it, you know? But, like, right, it feels yeah. like, I don't know, it feels, like, really real in, like, a way where, like, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, too much or, like, kind of, like, no feeling, like, they're not scared of, like, letting, like, the empty space sit there, you know? Where, like, people try exactly. to fill it in because it makes them feel awkward. But this, like, the empty, like, kind of space never felt awkward.
That's right, yeah, I mean... That's pretty much real life for you. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be odd, and there's going to be pauses in it. You know, it's not constantly mm-hmm. moving all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I agree.
Cool. Well, do you want to give it a rating?
Yeah, I'll go first this time. So, for movie Ungaku, Our Sound, I mean, I've said it, nothing but praises, really, you know, because, like, there's nothing really... It's a fast hour movie that you kind of go into it. You get great music, great visuals. He's not scared to take risks with the animation. If you look at this animation, Brian, I mean, I understand why you thought this was a Masaki Yuasa. It really has that vibe of, like, what he would do, because he mm-hmm. has this abstract art, and he has it here too, which is not what anime fans like at all. They like the big eyes, they like cute girls, you know, because, I mean, yeah. Aya is cute, but she's not like anime cute, like, you know, Oshino Ko characters, you know what I mean? And so I think that just having this kind of movie instead, you can recommend it to someone that's not even an anime fan, and someone that just likes music, and be like, look, dude, look, this movie Ungaku, it's for you, and you'll probably like it. And I think that's special in a lot of ways. So for me overall, though, I have to give it a 10 out of 10. I mean, I think it's just a solid movie overall. Nothing to complain about. I mean, especially like you said, Brian, I think the passion of the director just, you know, it's really inspiring, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm definitely with you. I really like, I don't know, I just thought it was like a movie. Like, you sit there, you watch, like, super enjoyable. It's interesting where, like, you know, like, I feel like the characters, like, they're, like, kind of interesting because, like, they're kind of themselves, right? Right. But, yeah, it just feels, like, really, like, organic and natural and kind of just, like, very comes from a place, like, somewhere special from kind of, like, the mangaka. And right. It has, like, a very, like, authentic feel to it, you know, like, even if you don't like it, that's okay. Like, if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. You know, mm-hmm. it is what it is, and it's not trying to be, like, apologizing for things that it's not. And so right. I kind of, like, really like that quality. And I think I'm kind of there with you, but I would give it, like, kind of, like, a 9 out of 10.
That's fair. That's fair, Brian.
Cool. Well, I guess that was another amazing episode of the Anime Fridge. Make sure to check out our past episodes. Check out Inuo, you know. Check out Inuo on Hulu, matter of fact. It's on Hulu, right? And then go watch our review. But yeah, just anything like that, dive into our category. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at AnimeFridge. Email us at AnimeFridge@gmail.com. I'm Brian, and that is my senpai, Aturu-chan, and Jenna.
Bye, guys.